Praise the Lord. I mean, we just praise Him again and again. Yeah. Amen. Oh, my goodness. Thanks. You guys blessed us greatly. So, in fact, we're going to find that the Torah portion is going to have a little fit into this. And especially, I think it was the second song that kind of fits into this. So, are we ready on the sound? How about everything else? All right. Well, this week my voice is still intact so far. Last time it was pretty squeaky. I felt like I was a teenager again, young teenager, cracking voice. Ooh. Okay. All right, I want to start out by asking a question. True or false? Great. It's just exactly what I need, is a true and a false. Yeah. Do we live in a post-truth age? Post-truth.
That's a trick question.
It can be a trick question. All right. Let me just start with a quote. There's a guy, an author, Ralph Keyes. He writes in his book, The Post-Truth Era, Dishonesty and Deception in Contemporary Life. He writes the following. Deception has become the modern way of life. Where once the boundary line between truth and lies was clear and distinct, it no longer is so. In the post-truth era, deceiving others has become a challenge, a game, a habit. American society has become permeated from the top to the bottom by deception. Its consequences for the nature of public discourse, media, business, literature, academia, and politics are profound. And this is sort of a profound statement because we're going to find out. Well, I'm going to show you what we're going to find out. All right. Now, I have a question, another one. Can one find a thimble full of truth in the mainstream media news, in advertisements, in product reviews? You go online, you think you're going to find out about a product, and you read the reviews. Or how about entertainment? Laws have loopholes. Contracts have fine print. History is being rewritten. What is right, what was right, is now wrong. Recruiters lie to prospects, and prospects lie on their resume. And what about the deception and the lies in marriage courtship? So, although fraud, we have laws against fraud. I know I had to take courses and I have to take tests on it all the time, on ethics, which includes fraud. But there are workers who are fired or not promoted if they're too honest. If your bottom line isn't making the quota, well, there's different ways of doing that. I know I've seen it. If you see fraud going on, you better not snitch. You're out of it. You're out of there. And you're not going to get a job anywhere close to where you live. Word gets around. So it sounds like you can't believe anyone these days. But research reveals, this is going back to this book of the post-truth era, research reveals that the average person tells multiple lies on a daily basis, often for no good reason. Does that include me? Does that include you? We've all been guilty of it. So we can't look at everybody else and say it's a problem relating to everybody else, because it includes everyone. Can you believe that we live in a time where hell's war against truth is weaved into every issue from cradle to grave? Everything. There's lies about vaccination, there's lies about schools, history, on and on, the medical field, everything that we are part of, there's deception and lies involved in it. So, is this something new? Is this a new phenomena? Well, let's go back a little bit. Let's go back to Paul, what he instructed Timothy. He said, and this is in 2 Timothy 4:3. So, you don't have to go there, but if you got a pencil and you can write some of this stuff down, that'd be good. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Well, I should have, maybe I'll say my disclaimer now, and I should have started out that way. There's probably going to be some things said today that a lot of people are going to agree with, and a lot of people are not going to agree with. So I could stir up a little hornet's nest here. Good. What I'm wanting to do is reveal some things. I am not up here to tell you what truth is or what truth isn't. But just hang in there. Keep your pencil sharp. Don't go to sleep. So, what's so important about truth? According to Psalms 89:14, this goes back to the song you guys said, but it's the words are translated differently than it is in 89:14. Truth. Faithfulness was one of the things that it was translated as in the song. But truth is one of the four divine pillars or stones of our Creator's throne. So the war is against the throne of heaven. When did this war begin? Well, let's go back a little bit further. And one of the most profound conversations in the Gospels was was between Yeshua and a non-believer. This is going to be from John 18. I'm going to pick up in verse 36. Yeshua answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would fight that I wouldn't be delivered to the Jews. But now, my kingdom is not from here." So Pilate said to him, "Are you a king then?" Yeshua answered, "You say that I am a king. For this reason, I have been born. And for this reason, I have come into the world, that I should testify to the truth." Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. Pilate said to him, "What is truth? What is truth?" Haven't we all been there before? What is truth? We all know somebody, maybe loved ones, that are still searching for the truth. So Yeshua states that the reason he came into the world is to restore truth to mankind. Since truth is absolute, it's also eternal. Yeshua was not bringing a new truth, but a truth that was from the foundation of the world. Okay, since it was from the foundation of the world, well, maybe we ought to go back some more. Let's go back to the very beginning, as far back as we can go. All right. Now we'll see what we got here. All right. Hopefully it won't flip on me now. Well, I thought I'd be pretty sharp with doing my iPad today, but my graph, my table didn't come through. So, anyway, we got two trees, in case you haven't figured it out. The tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's pretty, I like this. Okay. So, let's talk about what these two trees represent a little bit. The tree of life is like synonyms. Tree of life represents love. This one, fear. Why do I say fear? Well, it goes into hate. Fear is the foundation of hate. What happened when Adam heard the Lord walking through the garden? What did he say? I was afraid. We got fear over here. Okay. So I want you to know something else too. What we have been brought up with is we got this tree, and it's got good fruit and it's got evil fruit. Guess what? That's not what it's got. You can't have a tree that produces both good fruit and bad fruit. You have one fruit, actually, from this tree. And what is that fruit? It's not good and evil. It's knowledge. But what is this knowledge? First of all, before we get into that, let me just show you how we are constantly being deceived. We got good fruit and evil fruit. That is the deception. So how do you get from the tree of life, how do you get deceived all the way over to evil? Well, you got this third option, good. And we're going to get more into this good in a little bit. Yeshua says, false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform signs and wonders to lead astray, if possible. And this is in Mark 13, 22 and 23. He says, but be on guard. I've told you all these things beforehand. Also in Proverbs 14, it says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it is the way to death. So when we think we're doing something good, but it's of this tree, what good and evil, it still has the same root. So anything that looks good on this tree still has the roots of evil, the roots of death. What are we interested in this tree here? The tree of life. Right now we're going to say, well, we're interested in the fruit. That's not what we need to look at. The seed is in the fruit. The seed is the life. This tree is about seed. This tree over here is about image. This is how we can get, another way we can get fooled so well. So, we get fooled by thinking something is good. And I'm going to explain that a little bit more. But before I do, let's look at the word knowledge. From a Hebraic standpoint. Okay, knowledge, yada. It's sort of like an intimate knowledge, a very close knowledge. It is also another word you could say is to experience. To experience good and evil. But there's another thing about knowledge. And this is the one that is an eye-opener. It's this word yada can also mean having the ability or the skill to use or manipulate. So, the ability to manipulate good and evil. Isn't that what we're seeing today? We may not see it yet. So, the tree of good and evil relies a lot on image. The key is how good the package looks. This is why we can get fooled all the time. Advertisements or some other things where we... scams. Appearance. 1 Samuel 16:7. Samuel's looking for another king. David's older brother comes in, and the Lord says to Samuel, don't look on his face, or how big he is, how the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For the man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Don't be deceived by appearances. These trees will only produce after their own kind. So if you think you're eating something that's good over here, guess what? It's going to produce the seed from the root. The root is evil. If you're eating from this humble tree over here, it's going to produce the seeds of life. So, are you eating or still eating from this forbidden tree? Remember, this is where we were born. Yeshua says to Nicodemus, you have to be born from above. So we all came from this neighborhood over here. But are we still eating from it? I want to introduce George Egel. He was born in 1770, died in 1831. He wrote some stuff, and he influenced men like Karl Marx, Max Weber, Adolf Hitler. He was born in Stuttgart. Remember, a couple weeks ago I said that when the gospel, another word for gospel is truth, right? So let's just say when the truth got to Greece, it was welcomed, but eventually what happened? Truth was converted to philosophy. Egel in his humble manner, states that he probably has the philosophy that surpasses all of the philosophies that came before him. Why? It's pretty slick stuff. So, if you read some of his stuff, it sounds good. There's some things you're like, that's good. But if you read in Scripture the book of Job, and you read and you take Job's three friends, what they said, when you look at that, you're going to say, yeah, that's pretty good. But what did Yah say about Job's three friends? That they so grossly misrepresented the Almighty that he was not even going to accept a sacrifice for them. Job had to be the mediator for that. Welcome, George Egel. And I'd like for you to look this. It's the Egelian dialectic. It's H-E-G-E-L-I-N. In English, you would say Hegelian. But look it up. Make it a homework. Dialectic. I know a lot of people, including myself, didn't know what dialectic means, so I'll tell you that. Dialectic is the inquiry into metaphysical contradictions and their solutions, the existence or action of opposing social forces, concepts, etc. I know you may have to read that a couple times to let it sink in. But Hegelian thinking affects our entire social and political structure. The Hegelian dialectic is the framework for guiding our thoughts and actions into conflicts that lead us to predetermined solutions. The main gears for this mechanism is the left versus right. When you develop tension and conflict, you come to a solution sort of in the middle. We see this all the time in our corporate brainstorming. What comes out of it? I'll get to that. So, the right would be called a thesis. The left, antithesis. The middle is synthesis. Once you start to see what this is all about, then you're going to see what is happening on the news, on the TV, right before your eyes. So, what I want to just say, when you pit Muslims against Christians, blacks against white, men against women, old against young, they need these conflicts between these two categories. They develop a conflict that maybe there wasn't one. And they are slowly herding the population into exactly where they want them to be. Because when you think they have a solution down the road, you find out the solution wasn't the solution. And again, you got right versus left. And you herd these people even further into a funnel. You're going further down the funnel until what they want us to be. So, what we're going to relate to here, a useful tactic for this. Not everything, you have to get rid of truth. You have to get rid of absolute truth. That is the only way this thing is going to work. Not everything, write this down, not everything that is true is truth. Example, When they went into the land to spy it out, they came back. They told about how good the land was, what kind of fruit there was. But then they talked about the people, how big they were. Moses didn't ask them for their opinion. But that's what they brought back. These people, 10 of them, were there fortresses? Yes, true. Were there big people? True. Was there land that was fertile? True. But the opinion was, we can't take the land. All these true things, and you come up with something that's anti-truth. This is what we're up against today. Let's see. Another quote from Keyes. Dishonesty. It inspires so many euphemisms. In other words, different terms for lying. Which helps us, it helps to desensitize us to its implications. In the post-truth era, we don't just have truth and lies. We don't have just life and evil. We have a third thing. It's a third category of ambiguous statements that are not exactly the truth, but fall just short of a lie. So, what do they call it? Enhanced truth, neo-truth, soft truth, faux truth. Now, I want to say one other thing about this tree over here. As kids, we thought it was the tree of knowing right and wrong. No. That's another little embellishment that gets us off track. It's the tree of the knowledge of or manipulation of good and evil. All right. Here's another example. True. Are there bad cops? I mean, yeah, that's true. So, what are we saying? What are we seeing? The anti-truth is all cops are bad. The truth is, despite the true thing that there are some bad people, that does not mean all the cops are bad. But what do we see on the news? Yeah. All right. So, we have to develop a conflict here in the Hegelian dialectic. Right now, we saw the coronavirus, which turned into mask wearers versus non-mask wearers. In those categories. Now we see the law versus us poor people out here. We see the conflicts between race, between religion, gender, which I think is going to be the next on their schedule, the gender tension. And so we got politics, we got capitalism versus communism, diversity, abortion versus non-abortion, health care, etc. The funny thing about it, the ones who are behind the scenes pulling the strings are usually the same ones that fund the right side and they fund the left side. And those of us in the middle, we're caught up like a bass going after a lure. We don't see it coming. But what's the bottom line of all this? Bottom line is to promote hopelessness or anger, instability in a person's view of life. So these people who I say are behind the scenes. We'll call them social reformers or framers. They have to promote evolution. Evolution is another thing that what they're saying through this Hegelian dialectic is that after years, after generations of conflict, eventually it will end up in a higher spiritual level of humans. But guess what? Right now, the conflicts never end because they are necessary to keep the gears of this system moving. Conflicts are only temporarily resolved by skilled facilitators. People come in and they start talking about, like, diversity. They'll set up their workshops. I've been involved in these things. And when you go into it, yes, there are some things. We're using half-truths here. There's some things we don't understand about the other side. The other side don't understand about us. But the whole thing is for you to give up your stand, especially about absolutes, absolute truth, give that up so you can synthesize into a kumbaya environment. But then later on, bingo. Still got the same conflict coming up. Take abortion. How long have we been fighting about that?
50 years.
And has it ever been solved? There could have been a solution. But no, let's keep this thing going. Once again, the solutions are always predetermined in this system. The tactics are employed through media, work, too bad, churches, schools especially, and in society. This is nothing less than manipulation of the masses. When we see things on the news, we get upset. We've talked about it, and we're falling for this thing. Exodus 23:12 has a stern warning about following the crowd. So none of this ever works unless the Holy One is taken out of the equation. Now here's another trick, atheism. We all thought that the Soviet, they were an atheistic nation. That's a half-truth. The truth is, it's anti-God, not atheism. Atheism is there's no God at all, don't worry about it, don't even think about it. But this is anti-God. So they realize that there is a war against the Holy One. Otherwise, if they really thought that there was no God, why mess with the people? Because they're just shadow boxing. Know it. Maybe there's a few people that are atheistic. But this is not atheistic. It's anti-God. They're trying to take God out of everything. Already, take the Ten Commandments out of the courthouses, take God out of schools. Their ultimate thing is to take God out of the home. Well, how does this relate to us? You know, here in the Messianic community, I am so glad we're untouched by all of this stuff. Except we have infiltrators. This is the real calendar. And then you split It's not so much to split and divide as it is to cause conflict. And we get caught up in it. This is the name you this is the way you pronounce the name. Another conflict. Guess what? This is the way the name is pronounced. Well, that sounds good. The Jews aren't really Jews. Oh, that sounds good. For those who fall for that. Then you got the tabernacle is round. The earth is flat. What about the correct color of your tallits? The Temple Mount was not really where they say it is. Oh, that sounds good. You got a whole books written on all these issues. They make it sound good. Don't you know what tree you're eating from? Because it sounds good. Oh me. Oh my. We've all fallen for it. Every single one of us. Now, there may be somebody that believes in the lunar calendar. And you try to confront them about that. Find out how that works. But I just said one thing because you can talk about any of the other issues. It seems that you'll find there is a spirit attached to some of these beliefs. So when you go and confront somebody about, you know, why do you believe this? Right away, you find that there is another spirit attached to that belief system. I told you that you got the right and left conflicts, and there's skilled facilitators to synthesize into a new thinking. Basically, it's synthetic solutions. And it's meant to funnel society, all of the world, into a social current that actually has no light at the end of the tunnel. We don't realize it, but during right after World War I and II, some committee, and I don't know who it was, set up the new boundaries of the nations. Example, Yugoslavia had four warring cultures. They drew a circle around and said, "You're Yugoslavia." Guess what happened? They set it up. So eventually, and they had to fund it, there was a huge war in Yugoslavia. And now, instead of one country, there's four. They've done that with, they used to be the Assyrians, up in north Syria on the Syria and Turkey border. The Kurds, thank you. They've done that all over. In fact, even in Syria, there's different factions. They set it up purposely that way so that there would be a conflict down the road. We can't always blame some of these people. They did it with Israel. They've set those borders up knowing that there's going to be conflict and good. This is something that it's like setting up work for later on. You're not going to ever go out of a job if you keep doing this kind of stuff. Most people don't see the evil that lurks behind the scenes manipulating us all by cleverly concocted distractions. What this does is it disarms us. It disarms people mentally, emotionally, and physically to where they will eventually, they'll follow anybody. They'll follow a criminal. I can remember some guy saying, "Gee, it feels so good when they quit beating me in the head with a hammer. And that's basically what they're doing to us. Beat, pound, and then when they stop, oh, it feels so good when you stop. John 8:40. Those of the devil cannot see, comprehend, or recognize the truth. They feast on lies because the father of lies has no truth in him. We have a steady diet of lies. 24/7. But now let's go back to the account of the fall in the garden. This guy, Hegel, you can see where he's using the same tactics that the serpent used. Another comment about this tree. Every doctrine of demons comes from this tree. We get fooled into thinking and biting off on something that we think is good, which is really evil. All right, so I'm going to add some color commentary to Genesis 3. So let's start with Genesis 3. We're going to go through verse 7 and then skip down to 10. But there we go. Now the serpent was more subtle than any animal of the field which the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Yes, has God said, 'You shall not eat of any tree of the garden?'" Okay. Commentary. All of a sudden, the serpent is making an issue on what formerly was not even considered an issue. All right? We see it with our conflicts. The woman said to the serpent, "Of the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, 'You shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.'" Commentary. Here we see the instructions of Elohim were embellished, which alters logic and divine wisdom. God's word is perfect just the way it comes. We don't have to add or subtract from it. How it got changed, I don't know, and that's not the issue here. The issue was God's word was embellished on. The serpent said to the woman, "You won't surely die." Commentary. The serpent now is operating in an area of Eve's ignorance. She was ignorant of death. She had no knowledge of death. And this, again, you can see how they operate in our areas of ignorance. "For God knows that in the day you eat it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." All right. Now, we got conflict in Eve's mind. It was caused through a half-truth, and it was tailored. Before I say that, who was the serpent after?
Adam.
Huh?
The seed.
The serpent, good answers all of them. The serpent was not really after Eve, but he was going after Adam, but Adam was the prize of the Almighty's eyes, so he was going after the Almighty. But he went through Eve to get to Adam, to get to the Almighty. So, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise. Oops. Here we go. Image. She saw that it was good. Eve was distracted by the appealing image. So she took of the fruit of the tree, ate it, and she gave some to her husband with her, and he ate. Both of their eyes were open, and they knew that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Now, verse 10. The man said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Fear is the foundation of hate. This was the tree that represented love, God's love. Fear that turns into hate. Now, there's every opportunity that Hegelians use, the social reformers, to influence our lives, to make us into a collective. I'm going to give you an example. One of my favorite old-time series. Almost hate to admit it now. But it was Star Trek, The Next Generation. There was some clever writing in that. But on the very last episode, it was a powerful episode. But let's look what the dialogue was. Well, let me just, before I say that, there's a character named Q. And he was part of some superhuman race that had the powers that would be like we would compare to the Almighty. So mankind had almost been completely wiped out of existence. But because of some actions that the Enterprise took, saved mankind. Okay? So, Q, he's on the deck. He's talking to Jean-Luc. All right, we pick up. Q says, you don't get it yet, do you, Jean-Luc? The trial never ends. We wanted to see if you had the ability to expand your mind and horizons for one brief moment. And you did. For that 1 second, you were open to options that you never considered. This is the exploration that awaits you. Not mapping stars or studying nebulae, but charting the unknown possibilities of existence. So Jean-Luc says, what are you trying to tell me? And Q responds, you'll find out. At any rate, I'll be watching. And then, as if Q is being ascended, he's on his little throne, and he just drifts off into space. If that wasn't a clue of what we are going through right now, the conflicts never end. Social engineers rely heavily on evolution to validate their agenda. They work it step by step. And it goes in circles. Most develop a truth according to their reality or beliefs. Eternal and absolute truth is not found inside the person. And this is where the mistake all of us make. We look for truth from somewhere down in here. But truth resides not in us. It's outside of us. It's in Yeshua the Messiah. So all you got to do is look at what we accept right now that we did not accept 40 years ago. We've been bounced a little bit by little bit from our stand on scriptures. Especially when our loved ones get involved in some of these things, we soften up. I even fear to say what some of those are. Already they probably are getting rid of me off Facebook for this. When the truth is disassociated from the Holy One, the Creator, truth has no anchor. It becomes fluid. It becomes a drifting definition. The outcomes are guaranteed failures. That's the good thing. Because no matter how they bury truth in all the ashes of destruction, at some point, what's that lump coming up? What's that rock? Oh, it's truth coming forth again. More powerful than it was when it was buried. The Apostle Paul traced this relentless decline of humanity in Romans 1, verses 21 and 22. Although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. And that's exactly what's happening now. You cannot rely. The news comes out, you ask the experts, and it does not follow logic. They're becoming fools. And the thing of it is, we're replacing God with the government or with experts. Peter says in chapter 1, 22 in 1 Peter, he says, purify yourself by obedience to the truth. Psalms says, your word is truth. Yeshua, in John 12:12, I think, your word is truth. Purify yourself with obedience to the truth. Did Yeshua bring a new truth? No. He didn't, because truth is absolute and it's eternal. The Torah is eternal. Now here's a place nobody likes to read for some reason. But we see that with truth, that is the true way that society ascends. But when they deny truth, this is what happens. Lamentations. What? Yeah, Lamentations 2, verse 1. It says, the Almighty threw down from heaven to earth the splendor of Israel. That chapter will go on to show you that Israel gave up truth, gave up their God, gave up their Torah. The splendor of Israel was in the heavens at one time. And Yah threw it to earth, cast it to earth. So, change your diets. Get rid of the 24/7 lies. Things that you think are good may be devoid of truth. This is truth over here. This is lies. Most people have been drinking from the cup of deception so long that when they get a little morsel of truth, they become violently ill. Be prepared today for for the next conflict. It's on its way. It's not going to be a new conflict. It's going to be something that they dig up again, but it's going to be more violent this time. Be strong and be courageous. Your inheritance is waiting for those who hold fast to the end. Tom?